Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 788.
Yep.
Got it right.
Woo.
You weren't working the circus last night, so.
Monkey Man's.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed with the amount of Mickey Dolenz in this movie. I felt like
none.
That was a real bait and switch.
Yeah, they tricked you.
Only three original songs.
Yeah. Like, this is an outrage. An absolute outrage.
Mickey Dolenz is going to be beating people
up. It wasn't
up.
Called Monkeys, man.
Yeah, it was just Monkey.
Well, there's only one left.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. But they
just felt say, hey, I'm the monkey?
Could you imagine? Like
Monkey Man starring Mickey Dolenz?
No, just like if this was...
He would just break a hip and it'd be a three-minute movie.
If this wasn't the creative team that was this movie, I could absolutely think that somebody... Brett Ratner was like, I'm going to make this movie and he's going to wear this mask and he's going to make this terrible joke. This awful, like, 90s action movie. Where he makes a silly, silly joke.
I'm a believer. I'm a believer in kicking your ass. So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Did it in the first 40 minutes this week.
Sorry, guys.
So that's, nice. Good. That's good. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure.
YouTube Music.
Sure. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. You can find us on YouTube where you watch these things now. YouTube.com/@RealSpoilers.
That's terrible.
It's terrible. Vanity URL. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include... Jason McLean, Richard Kratzer, Chris Falls, Ralph Tribble, Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Dowdy, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Taylor Ward, Greg Summers, Heather Sachs, Spoiler Piece Theater, The Film Bee, Geek to Me Radio, Vertige, 314, In Session Film, NostalgiaCast, Ronnie Castle, Mike and Oscar, Colby Mack, Ryan Terry, and Matt Naglia. Also, don't forget, we have a Patreon where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You help out the show, and we like you extra. Mm-hmm. So there's all that. Let's dig in to Man of Monkey.
Holy this was amazing.
This movie ruled.
This is, like, it's...
so glad we covered
this. We're like 3 for 3, right? Like, the last three have been good stuff. Kong is what it was, but it was fun.
Tom's like, I beg to differ.
Kong was what it was. I had a good time at it. But apparently the first Omen is getting like crazy good reviews.
Yeah, the first Omen is getting really good reviews.
I didn't expect that.
I did not either. And
is also getting its ass handed to it at the box office. Yeah. So.
Well, and I know that some of the people online, even like people that starred in the movie, were like, why were you guys surprised this movie was good? Look at this cast. And I wanted to reply. I didn't because I'm like, oh, what's the point? But I'm like, I'll give you a reason why. The Exorcist believer.
Yep. Yeah.
It doesn't matter the property and the cast. Like,
and every Omen movie after the Omen,
first one.
Like they've all
even
been
the remake.
They've all been bad.
Omen 2 is not bad.
But it's a retread.
Yes, it is.
So it's boring.
Yeah.
Like it's just doing the same thing again.
It's kind of interesting where they're like, we made this kid forget who he was.
Yeah.
And then he slowly starts to remember who he was by the end of the spoilers for the Omen 2.
And then the fourth one was made for TV.
It's terrible.
Like,
have you even seen those movies?
Yeah,
I've seen the first three.
Strike me as a guy that's seen the Omen 4. Like,
well,
you just
but it was. I mean, it was like one of those like event television.
Yeah, because yeah, it was the fourth Omen movie, and it was. But it, like by the third one, there's no cast members left because now in the third one he becomes president.
Yeah,
right?
But it's
and it's like what
it's
are the
Sam,
odds of the
Sam
Antichrist
Neill.
Becoming pre- Anyway, that could never happen.
No, it could never
happen.
So
it's like audiences are getting more discerning with sequels and prequels, as they should be.
Yeah.
And Hollywood has to earn the trust back because they strip mine every property they can think of. And we've gotten it recently again with mm-hmm. Exorcist. I'll keep saying it because that movie was such a piece of crap. And it's like the Halloween guy got lucky. David Gordon Green got lucky when he made that first Halloween, I guess.
I don't know how else to position that because he keeps coming out with the
next two sucked.
No, they didn't. They're trash.
But like even if you like them, they're not what that first one was.
That is true.
Like that first one was really smart and interesting take on how a horror movie would affect
someone
really with how it dealt with trauma. Like it was so smart but still worked as a really good horror movie. And then the next two were Saturday morning cartoons.
They were
it might as well have been
that.
Called The Adventures of Michael Myers, like Halloween Babies.
Barely in the third one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they. And so, yeah, I mean, it's they were. Bad.
I don't know if he got lucky. This is what I think. I think he
I like
had,
this comedy stuff, and then he did Halloween. And it's like, whoa, this guy's good.
I think he had the idea for the first one, mm-hmm. and then they were like, oh, this is making a lot of money. Go write two more. Mm. And he was like,
I do think they were rushed. I think we talked about it. Same thing happened with Scream. I mean, we know the Radio Silence guys are awesome.
They got a new movie coming out, what, next week?
Yeah,
two weeks.
I am so happy. This is the same thing I said about Dev Patel. Everyone wanted him to be Bond, and I think he'd be a great Bond, you know, especially you see him in the suit, looking suave, looking ripped, like he could be Bond, right? But if he doesn't do Bond so he can make more original stuff like Monkey Man, sign me up. And it's the same thing with the Radio Silence guys. If they stop doing Scream movies to do vampire ballerina movies, sign me up. Give us the original stuff. This is the same reason why I had no interest in Omen Minus One. I don't want to know. I don't care about a prequel. I think you can tell that story.
I think telling the story of this cult that has been trying to bring about the birth of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't mind going back, but it's like, it is a strange property to go back to like a requel or a prequel.
Well, and tell me it's good and I'll go see it. I'm not saying I'll never see it, but my point is I don't get excited for Omen prequels.
Right.
You got to tell me an Omen prequel is really good.
Well, because,
and then I go,
again,
oh, okay, I'll go see it.
Because there's only been one that was good.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that.
And so I'm excited that these auteurs are making original properties. We don't want Radio Silence stuck in Scream movies. As much as we like the Scream remake in the
if they have something that's laid out, right, if they say like we've got three movies laid out ready, like this is the progression of our story, I'm okay with that.
But if it means they're not going to make zombie ballerina movies, and if it means he's not going to make Monkey Man, I'm saying like we don't want them tied up when
that's
they could
fair.
Be making original really cool properties, right? And so again, I don't mind them rebooting a movie and making a really good one, but you know, if they're the Scream guys now and not the Radio Silence guys, and every movie is a, you know, we want Ready or Not.
Yeah,
we want right. These are, you know, the ballerina movie seems more like a Ready or Not. It's we're getting back to that original, just really cool, funny, scary movie.
I don't know what that's going to be.
I don't know, but it looks looks fun, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is exciting. And this is a movie that was plagued with problems during production. It was filmed during COVID. I mean, it lost financing and a producer. It lost a distributor. This movie's been in the can for over 2 years.
Yeah.
And as you see, it's awesome. But all these things, all these odds were stacked against
it. Well,
it
was supposed to be a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Jordan Peele saw it at South by Southwest and said, absolutely not.
Like, you bought this, it from Netflix.
This cannot go to Netflix.
But but Netflix was selling it because of political issues.
It took me a second to realize.
They were worried, like, they have a big relationship in India, and they were worried that this would mess it up because it is directly. I mean, I'm not an expert, and so I can't really speak to all the details. But doing some research and listening to Dev Patel talk, there's you know, a contentious climate, political climate in India, and it has been for the past maybe couple decades, a couple elections, and the third election's coming up on the release April 17th.
That is fortuitous.
Yeah, I think
this movie. But Netflix gave him $30 million to make this movie. And they,
is that right?
And they sold it to Universal for $10.
Wow.
Because their relationship is so valuable.
I didn't realize that this had that political undertone. It's not even an undertone by three-fourths of the way.
But I will also say, knowing nothing about the politics of India, I don't know even really what it's saying politically.
So I think Bobby, right? Like, mm-hmm. We'll just call him that because he doesn't really have a name.
I think is the character's name.
Dev Patel. When he goes to that, like, commune or that village.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what was going on until he'd been there for a little bit. And then I saw one of the women there. And I was like, oh, this is because the person that leads that village is like, this is where the outcasts go. They don't want to come here. They'll leave us alone. You can rest up and train here or whatever. As you start looking at those people,
this
it's like
is a safe space for a montage.
Yeah, very much so, which is great. But it's trans people. It looks like it's gay people. It looks like it's people that maybe that society on the outside don't acknowledge or will hurt. Because I think somebody does get hurt. Mm-hmm. Right? Like somebody in.
Because they came, so they're behind on, we're jumping way ahead, but they're behind on their payments. That's fine. Yeah. They're behind on their payments, and the person is like trying to rip the thing off the door and be like, get out of here. And they
attack
her.
Yeah. So it's, I do think that there's probably some level of transphobia or anti-LGBTQ, like, in that's just what I'm picking
up.
And
he cast LGBTQ
absolutely
actors, which is really cool. He sent a casting call out on, like, TikTok, and he got social media people, and he wanted authentic, you know, people for the roles.
So,
and
to me, that is what he's talking about.
Well, the cool thing about this movie is it kicks ass, but it has a lot to say.
Yeah.
And it definitely does try to broach a couple or a few different subjects, and where in another movie you might say, like, oh, that's really busy or too much, I felt like this movie was really focused in the times when it was trying to say different things about these topics. And also, an Indian dude doesn't get a lot of opportunities to write and direct and star in a $30 million Netflix action movie.
Right.
And so it's like he said, I had a lot to say, and I used this opportunity to say it and do it in this movie. And I think it was really good, especially for a first directing.
I mean, this is a very difficult film, I would think, to star and
direct.
Yeah. And so the fact that he picked such a difficult choice as his first film.
Well, I didn't realize that he'd been acting since he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember Slumdog Millionaire. That kind of was like this.
Yeah, that's where the first time where I think most people.
Yeah, but he was on a show called Skins, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize, which is a British kind of like teen drama, right?
Like, I never watched it.
I think that's what it is.
That was
his
first role. Yeah.
I think it's like this, not teenager, but it's like a Melrose Place for early teens, gotcha. Is kind of what I took
BBC's
it as.
Degrassi High.
Yes. That's a good call. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Yeah.
But he's been around the industry for a long time, and clearly this shows he has what it takes. I mean, he's a great actor.
Dude, he's so good on The Newsroom.
Oh, I'd never
watched
it. Oh,
man, he's great
really?
On there. Yeah, okay. That show's great. Like, if you like just it's Sorkin, so just be prepared for that.
Sure. Well, I like the walk and talks and all that.
It is so good.
But he's good in everything. I loved him in The Green Knight. I thought he was excellent.
Oh, man. That movie didn't get talked about enough.
I loved
that movie. That movie was wild.
That movie was one of those movies that I watched, and then instantly after, I went and read the poem that it was based on.
Yeah.
And then read the analysis of it and people and watched YouTube videos on it. Like, there are certain movies that you watch and then you're like, I need to know more.
That movie's great.
And I thought that movie, it was such a beautiful looking movie.
Was it
movie.
A24?
Oh, it has oh, to yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's
he's
such...
like, you're like, I'm sorry I said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
I shouldn't have.
But that movie, if people have not seen The Green Knight, it's such a beautiful looking movie. You know, it looks incredible, and it's about, you know, knights and medieval. It's based on this poem about the Green Knight, but it's a very short poem, and they expound it into this whole story. But anyway, he's good in everything, but his directing chops. This movie, I think, moves at a fast clip. I think
it does.
I think that it's,
I think
very,
it's only is it
100? 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like 2 hours and 1 minute.
Yeah,
it moves along. It tackles a lot. It has a lot to say, but I think it says it very succinctly. And I think,
but it doesn't beat you over the head with it. Like, he's getting his message.
No, it feels organic. The story
beats everybody else over the head.
Yeah, lots of people. But he's getting he's getting what he wants to say out there without having to spoon feed it to you.
But this movie tackles, let's just think about it, religion.
Yep.
Politics.
Yep.
LGBTQ.
Yep.
Stuff. I mean, this movie is saying all this, but then it's also this kick-ass action revenge movie.
Yeah.
And so when people compare it to saying this is Indian John Wick, it's so much more than that. It's
it
not,
is very that is very derivative.
Just because a guy,
I get why
the trailers make it look that way
for sure, because they want people to go
right.
But that's shorthand. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying you're dumb if you say that, but I mean, it also
kind of reminded me of Die Hard, just the idea of like this guy who is ill-equipped. Yeah. To be fighting the battle he's fighting.
Sure,
he gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I like about it is that early on in the movie, he gets his ass kicked, and you're like, oh, that didn't go how I thought it would go.
When he tries to jump through the window, and he just bounces off.
That got a great reaction, or the fact that he screws up the assassination attempt.
Well, that's the big one, right? Where it's like he's got him right there because he's not equipped to do that.
Right.
But that thing when he jumps and hits on the window, he tore his shoulder in real life, and I liked that they kept rolling. You can tell he hurt because he tore his shoulder.
Yeah.
Have you heard interviews about what happened to Dev Patel during the filming of
this
movie?
Well, apparently, he can fight. Like, that's real. Like, apparently he is like...
Yeah, this whole movie was actually a documentary.
But,
yeah.
Like, apparently he does actually, like, train... in some sort of martial arts.
It looks like it.
So he knows what he's doing for the most part.
He looks legit when he's fighting.
But he broke his hand?
Yeah, so he broke his hand. This is at the beginning of COVID when movie productions just started up, and they had 150 people depending, you know, for jobs on this movie. And I think it was like the first day of filming, they filmed that bathroom fight scene, and he breaks his hand. And
but he can't get... But
if production shuts down...
But he also can't get medical attention to fix his hand, so he just kept going.
Well, so they flew him. There was some loophole that he flew a private jet because there wasn't COVID policies or whatever, because it was a private jet, and flew him to some territory to get help with a doctor where he fixed up his hand. But he's like, but the doctor's like, okay, we put this pin in your hand, and you can only apply like 1 to 2 pounds of pressure. If you go over that, it's going to split like wood splitting. And he's like, you'll mess up your hand forever. And then the next day he goes back and starts filming this movie. So it's like what he put himself through for this film is
it's
incredible.
Tough, man, because when you think this is my one, the Eminem, it's Lose Yourself, right? Like, it's your one shot.
Yeah.
You one opportunity.
Sing it, Joe.
And I can, but I'm not going to. We'll get demonetized on YouTube.
I don't know if you get demonetized for like a parody or something. Like, you could sing your own rendition of songs.
I guess that's true. But this is it.
Yeah.
You know, if you.
And this movie, I don't know if you realize this, there's no Mekhi Phifer.
There is no Mekhi. It's, Oh, damn it.
He didn't eat his mom's spaghetti because she wasn't around to cook it.
That's right.
That's the whole story. Is he wants revenge because they're having
spaghetti
that night.
Yeah, right. But
I think there'd be a lot of spaghetti in Mumbai.
Maybe not.
But
lots of.
And that's what they're fighting for, Tom.
Fighting for spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti. Right. Because if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it the right way. But there's so many influences. Take it, like the whole last scene is Enter the Dragon. The whole thing is like, so in Enter the Dragon, the last scene of that movie is Bruce Lee is fighting the bad guy on Fight Island, but it's all mirrors. Like,
is it really called
Fight Island?
Okay, I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Shang Tsung was there. Liu Kang was there. Yeah.
It is Mortal Kombat.
Kong.
Like, is Mortal Kombat.
It is. Well, Mortal Kombat is Enter the Dragon.
Bruce Lee was like, I'm going to make an adaptation of that Mortal Kombat game that comes out in 15 years.
Before I die. Or after I died. But like that whole scene is him fighting this guy in a room full of mirrors. And in this one, right, like it's not exactly the same, but they've got like mirrors that are hanging off the wall.
Can we talk about the cinematography in this movie?
The one thing I did want to say that I was impressed with is
gorgeous.
Is the way he films the fight scenes in the beginning are insanely chaotic.
Yeah.
Like the camera movement, like, and what I thought was very interesting is after the training montage and he goes back and starts fighting it, the chaos is gone.
Yeah.
Like the way he films it, it is much smoother.
It's very controlled.
And I was like, that's kind of a brilliant choice
When they're fighting in the ring, when Monkey Man is fighting in this underground boxing ring ran by Charlton Copley, they used like they had camera operators like underneath the camera and shaking and like moving with the punches and doing things to make it feel, because every time there's a hit and
when he gets hit, you feel it.
Yes.
But I think it's also because of the story, right? You're also invested in a way that you aren't in. I mean, I didn't care what happened to Kong.
No.
Like, right. I'm just like, whatever.
What happened to Kong.
I don't care.
I don't care what happens to Kong. Because I also know that it doesn't matter.
What about you care Donkey about, Kong?
There'll be another Kong.
Do you care about Donkey Kong?
No.
But you care about what happens to Rocky.
Exactly.
You know? Like that's not to compare Rocky to Godzilla.
Do you care about what happens to Milo Ventimiglia?
No.
People forget.
So much.
What
so
about Tommy?
So much.
Tommy Gunn.
So I don't care about Milo Ventimiglia so much that the writers of that movie didn't care because he didn't come back.
Wrote him off.
Well, I think.
He did come back.
I think also.
Does he go see him? At the door or something? He goes to the door
in Creed or Creed 2.
Yeah,
I think it's Creed.
Yeah. But that was probably a one for one. I kind of wonder because Sylvester Stallone pops up on This Is Us.
Oh, see?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
for real?
Yeah,
Sylvester as who?
As Sylvester Stallone.
Oh. I had no idea.
He shows up playing himself.
He shows up on This Is Us as Sly Stallone.
Yeah, because Kevin. The like the good looking actor in Hollywood guy on This Is Us is like cast in a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Oh.
And like and then the Milo
Ventimiglia.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is like his character's always in it is that takes place in like the '70s and eighties.
Right.
And he is like a huge Sylvester Stallone fan. So he's like
Can't
believe he's working with like his dad's favorite actor.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
we call him Peter from Heroes.
I was trying to think of what his name was.
Think of is Peter.
But it is wild how they both have that lip thing.
Yeah,
like it is wild.
I mean, I think that's why you got cast.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But you feel that's very true. Is the character of Kid or Bob Dev Patel? We'll just call him that. He doesn't have a lot of dialogue. But they give you enough story for him where you're rooting for him the whole time. And when he is getting his ass kicked, because he gets his ass kicked a lot, you're kind of like, come on, bud. Like, you know.
Well, he's the everyman. It is very diehard in that regard to where it's not an easy fight. He's got an uphill battle for him. And the cool thing is this also, there's so much culture in this movie, which is really important to Dev Patel.
Sure.
To implant all this culture and the things that he believes in and Hinduism and all that. So the movie, the character of Kid is going through this progression, which is very similar to the story of the monkey they talk about in the beginning that the mom is telling him about.
Yeah, the story.
Because his rebirth after he's hunted down and left for dead, you know, killed, it looks like, is the same thing in this story. The monkey gets hit by a bolt of lightning, but then the gods nurse him back to health and give him powers, and that's what the people at the temple do.
Basically.
So it's a really cool retelling of this very famous story that people in India know and are read to as kids, and this character is very important to them, and so he made his character a representation of the working class, the people, a man of the people, and someone that can inspire, much like this story. So again, it's a really deep movie with a lot to say.
I guess we could just do the origin of this character first, where it seems like he lives in this village with his mom, and we don't know who his dad is. I think we find out who his dad is at the end. I think that there is absolutely something to be said about Dev Patel not calling a certain character "Don't call me son." That's what I took it. Like
that's
the way they react to each other, Like, they both know who each other is.
You think that when the police chief comes into the village, that, and the mom's like, shove these papers up your ass, whatever, that they have an existing relationship?
I don't think it's the police chief.
Oh, you think it's the...
I think it's the other guy.
The guru?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, because okay. The whole last scene of that movie, when that guy stands up and is talking to him, mm-hmm. The way they're talking to each other, it is definitely like a father and son who are estranged, because he calls him son. And now you could take it as, don't talk to me that way, don't talk down to me that way.
I felt that was a religious leader thing. You know,
I did
like
not.
Calling everyone son or my son or, you know, that kind of thing.
The way that they, to me, the way I took it is the way they are acting towards each other, or at least Dev Patel, just the anger and the rage that is in his, because he plays that perfectly the whole time. I think that that's his dad.
Well, the guy's responsible for killing his mother. He's the one that ordered the police chief to burn the village, and he ended up...
Like the crow. It is. This is, I mean,
there you go.
I'm not saying that there's a... But it is kind of the
Could
story
be
of
an
the
inspiration.
Crow.
But that guy's responsible for killing his mother. So I think it's an interesting read. I'm not saying right or wrong about
right.
it. But also, I do think that he would be very angry, because he's... I mean, he's fought to the top of this building. And again, this
like,
is the end of
like,
the movie.
Like Game of Death.
Yeah. But this guy is also responsible for the death of his mother. So he's very angry.
Yes. Yeah. So we see that this village has been destroyed, and our main character as a boy is kind of just like left on his own. So we see him in a very dingy, gross fighting ring. He's getting his ass kicked by this guy in the ring. And then he, you know, it's kind of like...
He always wears a monkey mask.
He always... That's true. He does wear a monkey mask.
Seems important.
But not so important. That was my one problem. The only problem is when he bleaches the mask. And then I was like, oh, he's going to wear it throughout this crazy fights,
and then he walks in
and
takes it off. That was a very
and throws it away.
I had the same I have like basically no complaints,
no
about
complaints.
But if there was one nitpicky thing, I would be like, why did he walk up at the alley and they're like, get out of here, Joker, and he takes the mask
like,
off.
Oh yeah,
what was the point of that?
I don't know.
But I mean, I guess because if they're celebrating Diwali and they go down and like there's people dressed up, he kind of got close to them, so like, get out of here, get away from your Joker.
Yeah.
And then he takes it off and fights him, so I could see that did kind of let him infiltrate as a celebrating person,
maybe. But he just walks outside. He takes it off outside, and then he walks into the building.
No, but he got up to there's two guards, and they say, like, get out of here, Joker, and there's people in the streets celebrating, dressed up as different
things.
So it did let him kind of infiltrate down the alley, but it wasn't a movie moment you'd expect from a movie about Monkey Man to come in, and he does this thing, gets the mask, and then he's like, okay, bye.
just take it off. So he loses Charlton Copley. Takes like half of his money. It's very Spider-Man kind of where he's, you know.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that he has to infiltrate this club to find like all of the people that have murdered his mom and his village are in this club.
This felt very like Raid to me. It reminded me of...
It feels like a gangster movie. Like that's kind of what I took away
but
from
like,
it.
But like fighting when he's going up the building...
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
The Raid is also Game of Death.
Yeah, and Dread.
Dread is also Game
right,
of Death.
Right,
yeah.
Right, I just think these are inspirations, probably.
Absolutely they are, I'm trying to think, how does he get into...
He pretends he steals that lady's wallet.
It's a really
That's
cool,
right.
a
That's
really
what
cool
it was.
Sequence
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that... I like the way it looked. I don't think it served much impact to the story because I'm like, why is there this elaborate ground?
Why do there need to be 45 people
to steal a wallet?
To steal a wallet.
I'm like, it was very cool looking. It looked amazing.
And
but
almost,
when it happened, I'm
also
like,
just like, you, as poor as everybody is, and
nobody
you,
else searched that wallet.
Nobody else took money out of that wallet the whole time. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like it's like,
you could say that they realized whose wallet it was and were like, no, thank you.
But this guy doesn't. But, oh, you mean it being hers?
Yes.
Yeah, but I just...
But that's a stretch.
But it was cool for cool's sake, and it did look really cool. But at the end, and they never used that network of people again.
No. Right.
So I was like, what? But okay, anyway, but just a very minor
nitpick.
That's
right.
But so he brings her the wallet and he says, I need a job. And she's just like, we don't just hire people off the streets. And he's like, I'll do anything you want. And he shows his hands and clearly something's very messed up with him.
They're scarred up really bad.
What yet, but they're really bad.
Yeah. So he starts working he's working in the kitchen or he's working cleaning the toilets. He's doing all this different
stuff.
And
we should say that there's this hotel, this King's, what is it called? The King's Hotel?
It's John
King's,
Wickland.
John Wickland.
Yeah.
So it's not just a fancy hotel. I mean, it does, and they serve these politicians and the police and everything, but there's also like a menu of women. So they're doing some very seedy, gangsterish, like...
It is one of those wild things where she's just flipping through a catalog. She's like, no, I'll take this one.
But and these aren't like empowered sex workers. This is like sex trafficking. It's very much that you've got this rich, creepy clientele and these women that do not want to be there having to participate in this.
Right.
But they're stuck in this
life.
Well,
I will say, I do think that there is some truth to that. But I think the higher up you go, and we see that kind of like as the women get, I don't mean this in a bad way, classier. Right. Like they're in these very fancy dresses and their hair is all done. I do think there's a level of like acceptance of your job and like doing your like it, you're not just there to be there. Like they're these the women up at like the King's Club or like the VIP lounge.
If you're going to get whored out, you might as well get whored out in the VIP lounge.
Not wrong.
But
you know?
To me, this hotel and this queenie that runs it, this whole thing to me seems VIP. I feel like their business isn't. You saw the brothel with the guy with the axe. That's crazy. Like, and that was some terrible sex trafficking. Like, they're doing even grosser, more terrible stuff than like this one does seem a little bit more. I don't know how to explain it. I don't think they're happy to be there, but this establishment, even though it has drugs and some seedy
high
dealings,
class drugs though.
But then you see like on the streets and they go to this one and there's kids and stuff and it's terrible. So it is a different type of operation, but we do see a good mix of all the crazy stuff going on in this city.
Yeah, and it is crazy. That's the best
way to describe it. It's crazy. There's a lot going on.
So he gets in and then he makes friends with kind of like a low level I don't even know what you would call him. Just a pusher, maybe, or like a low-level employee,
he's their drug runner.
And they get and that's what I like about this is there are funny moments, like the Nicki Minaj thing.
He's very funny.
I thought he was too. Where he's he talks about his car in relation to Nicki Minaj. I won't get into it. But,
yeah, I wish I didn't see that scene 50 times.
I know.
More movies.
I you know what I wish I hadn't seen that the goddamn ballerina's a vampire.
I know.
Like, why would you give that away?
I know. Well, because here's the thing.
All you got to do is put the fangs in the credits. Fangs on the font, and you're like, what are we talking about?
I know, but see, this is a whole different discussion.
I know.
People don't go to the movies anymore.
That's true.
And unfortunately, most people are not like us that see a movie a week. Most people go see a movie every whatever few months. They wait for everything to hit streaming. And so you have to sell, the marketing has to give things away, which sucks.
Yeah.
But otherwise people just don't go.
Yeah.
Right. So it sucks though for people like us that are going to see stuff anyway. And that's
like,
why.
God dang it.
And I've seen all these trailers, the ballerina one 5 times before every movie we see. I try not to pay attention, but they just.
It's in your face.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting in front of a giant screen. Yeah. So it's kind
but
of hard.
We've talked about this before. Comedies are the worst where it's like, I don't want jokes given away. I like it when the trailers have jokes that aren't in the movie.
That's a Ron Burgundy.
You know, but because then you don't get spoiled.
It
gives you the tone and the fun, the humor of it. But then
it's like Ghostbusters and it turns out that there are no more jokes in the movie at all.
Yeah.
They didn't replace those jokes with other jokes. They just didn't have
jokes.
Yes. No, I like the Apatow stuff where there's so many jokes and so many improvs. They can give you different jokes in the trailer and not ruin the jokes. That's fun.
I was thinking about that the other day is you watch that Infinity War trailer.
Oh, I can't remember that one.
Well, like there's a whole scene in that trailer where it's Captain America and the Avengers running at something with like the Hulk is there and you're like, that never happened.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even that.
I
that
do
didn't
remember
happen
that.
At all.
I remember the running one we talked about.
There
that
was no Hulk in that movie. Yeah. Like it didn't exist. So yeah, so he starts working his way up and finally he gets to a spot where he is in the VIP and he is coming face to face with all of the people that were involved in his mother's death. He decides, which I think is one of the best things I love about this movie, is the fact that Dev Patel is able to show this, vicious, badass street fighter side. But at the same time, you've got this interaction with one of the ladies of the night that is very sweet, where there's an attraction there, of course, because she is beautiful and he's Dev Patel, like a good looking dude. But they don't, it's, like an 80s movie, right? Like that becomes a thing. That becomes a relationship that he's fighting for her.
Right.
And this one, it's like they're into each other, but he's on this other path.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough time.
What I'm saying is like in the hands of a lesser director, they're going to try to cram that in, right?
Or the whole movie would have become about saving her.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think it was Jordan Peele, because Jordan Peele ends up picking up this
he
movie
saved this
from
movie.
Netflix.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it was in limbo. Netflix didn't want it. They ditched it. He bought it. And
couldn't they just not release it in India? Or do you think India would be pissed because they
Well, they're trying to. It has to go through the censorship stuff, just like they do with movies in China.
Yeah.
So I believe what I was getting at earlier was April 17th.
Oh my God, that movie's like 10 minutes long.
April 17th or April 19th is the India tentative release date, which is also the start of the third election.
Mm-hmm.
So it all lines up with this, and they don't know if it even will get released. They would have to probably heavily edit it and everything.
Sure, sure, sure.
So
replace Dev Patel's face with Christopher Plummer.
That makes this movie so much more problematic.
Very problematic.
So, but the other thing that I like is he has this softer side with this puppy. And I thought the thing with the puppy, you're like, oh, it's cute. Like, he's just feeding the dog. And then you get the reveal that he's not feeding this dog.
I called that, and that was brilliant.
Where he is feeding the dog.
I didn't really understand, kind of like with the wallet thing, where, like, the dog's going to bring him the gun. Why not just hide the gun in the alley somewhere? There were lots of places.
He couldn't get into the alley. The alley's guarded, and the dog gets in.
Was the alley guarded?
The
I didn't
yeah,
see
I
that.
Thought there were guys yeah. in the, yeah, people in the alley.
I think he climbs over. I think that's where the guys are. It's that same alley.
Oh.
He jumps the fence. He has to climb up and over.
I was
it.
Just like, if you could just go out in the alley once you're in the hotel, it doesn't seem very
I've seen
secure.
Godfather.
No,
that gun in the thing
that,
before
that,
they got
there. Yeah. That alley is guarded by the armed guards.
Dev Patel walking out with just his dick in his hand.
It's the same guys that he throws the monkey mask off and fights them, but he has to climb way up and over the fence. That dog sneaks in through a hole in the fence.
Right.
So as soon as he starts feeding that dog and they're like, don't feed him, hook him back, I called it. I'm like, well, he can't get the gun in because it's all secure. And they show him going through detectors. The movie's well written in a way where, like, they
really
think
smart.
Of everything. They show you all the
visually,
right? They just show you all the problems that he has getting the gun in and all that. So I thought that was really cool, where I'm like, oh, he's going to have the dog walking
in.
That's
pretty smart. But so he ends up going in there and getting to the VIP lounge and getting into this fight. And he's a skilled fighter, but he's not the best fighter. And what I like about that is, like, he is constantly getting his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And he does keep getting up again, but he has this plot where he's going to take this drug. It's not cocaine. It's definitely more than cocaine. But he puts...
I thought he probably put the bleach in.
He did. That's what he did.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he did.
They call him Bobby because he says Bobby, but he's looking at Bobby's bleach.
Right.
So he puts some in with the cocaine to get the
But
police.
Not enough.
Well, I think he wanted him in the bathroom. He wasn't trying to kill him. He was trying to
get
him.
I think he was trying to kill him. I think he was trying to kill him in the lounge. And when he realized that wasn't working...
Oh, okay.
That's what they got
but
him
he,
in the bathroom.
Why would he even have the gun then if he thought he was going to kill him with drugs?
As backup?
I don't know.
I thought he put it in those tube shots.
That's coke. Yeah. I don't know if it's
but
coke.
They were drinking that, though. Mm-mm. They were shots.
No, they were pouring out coke on the table sniffing it.
Yeah,
he was sniffing it off
the legs. I thought it was just a fancy way to do a shot.
No, those were vials of coke from
the
drug
dealer. I mean, I saw people doing coke, but I didn't realize it was...
Either way, like, that was his plan. Is he going to lace the drugs with bleach?
I think he wanted to point a gun at him and say, my name is Nago Montoya. He killed my father, prepared. I do think the plan was always to shoot him and say, this is for my mother, kind of thing.
And then that all goes
It's not
down.
Romantic if you don't do that.
I
you know,
guess
like
true.
You can't just poison him with cocaine and walk away. He did all this so that he could face him. And,
right. And then it goes to the guy does not get enough drugs in it or Drano in his system. And Dev Patel loses. Like, he gets out of the fight, but he doesn't make it.
It's a really cool. We should talk about the fight scene, though. The choreography, the fight scene in the bathroom. You know, they're picking up toilet seats and whatever. You know, just hitting each other. And
It's very Mission Impossible.
It's a drag
four?
Out, knockdown.
Five.
No, six, maybe.
With the Henry Cavill one.
Yeah,
that's
six.
When his beard grows, when he reloads his arms.
Yeah. That's six.
But yeah, like, smashing, you know, it is. Watching somebody try to smash a porcelain sink with your hand is insane. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's not physical. I mean, it is physically possible, but
only once.
One time, because your arm is destroyed after
but
that.
But it's a really cool scene, because there's, like, another guard in the bathroom, and he gets out, and Dev Patel shoots him, and then he's fighting for the gun, and constantly the gun is getting kicked away, so he's reaching for it.
Falls in his toilet.
I love when fights are mad scrambles and not, like... Yeah. And I know this is intricately choreographed, but not
so perfectly,
but not like where it's intricately choreographed for us to enjoy, almost like it's a dance. I love when it looks like this is what a fight would really look like.
If you were in a, and I have been in fights where it's like, there is no waiting. Yeah. Right? Like you're not setting your stance. You're going. Like we are in it. We are like, and it's not pretty.
That's the tough part about action movies where there's so much downtime when the people would be scrambling to fight for their lives.
Yeah.
Especially when there's guns and weapons involved and knives. You're not sitting there like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You're like, messy.
It is not fun. Yeah. Like it is.
And this movie shows that. Shows the part. It's bloody. And this movie is bloody and brutal. Well, I will say,
it shows that until he goes to the village. When he comes out of the village, everything does feel like a very stylized act. Now, the camera movement is very similar, but the way he's fighting, because he's been training,
well, sure,
there is like a smoothness.
There was a montage, Joe.
I know. I agree. And it's great. And that's what we'll get there. But when I did notice, I didn't realize that Dev Patel was a Bollywood guy. Like he had done, there's two movies that I think he had done that are Bollywood movies with dancing and the big dance numbers. That initial montage with him punching the bag and the guy playing the drums, I was like, oh, this is Bollywood. Like this is a dance sequence.
I mean, it's definitely more culturally influenced. Like that's the part of the culture he wants to bring in.
Yeah, yeah.
That the drummer is apparently a famous musician in India.
Right on.
And so they brought them in for a couple days and they did that. I mean, that's them. The punching was very rhythmic, right?
Yes.
Like you said, like a dance.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool because in American action movies, as cool as they can be, and John Wick riding horses and shooting and all that stuff, it's cool, but we don't get that kind of stuff, right?
No.
You go to these different cultures and it becomes the dance and the rhythm and you see a different side of things. That like RRR is a great example.
It's a very good example
of an action movie that we don't get in America, and it's so cool. And then people are like, you know, people that do watch these action movies, these Indian movies, are like, yeah, you need to see how crazy and cool this stuff is. But we're not accustomed to seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in this movie,
I mean, that happened in the mid-2000s. So when Tony Jaa became a thing, like he was not an American actor, still isn't. Like the fact that him and Donnie Yen and these guys are still not like household, you know, you don't put them in the same breath as Van Damme and Schwarzenegger is insane to me. But a movie
Jackie
like
Chan wasn't either.
Yeah, but he broke through when Rumble in the Bronx came out. That movie broke through.
Not when Cannonball Run came
also out. Also correct. But like Police Story, I would agree. Yeah. Like Police Story, which is, if you've never seen that, please do yourself a favor because it is one of the greatest action movies you'll ever see.
Drunken Master.
Also great.
Mm-hmm.
But like Rumble in the Bronx is the one that breaks him out in America. And then he became, you know, a megastar.
Right.
And Rumble in the Bronx in Quebec.
Yes, that's right. I was like, well, oh, but yes, you're absolutely right. Which is crazy. Like, because it's like, well, it doesn't really look like that.
No. I think some of the signs are even still in French or something. They didn't even try.
So at the end, so he gets his ass kicked. He escapes by the skin of his teeth. He ends up stealing that little tricycle thing.
Amazing sequence.
Yeah. And then the other guy hops on, which to me, I was like, why did that guy get on?
Yeah, he goes, get in. He was like, okay.
Because he wanted out of there. He didn't know what they were going to do to him. They were rounding up all the workers. I think he just wanted to get the hell out of there.
Oh, but I was like, but they wouldn't think he was associate. I guess because they run together. Like it's only afterwards when he escapes from them. Like, yeah. This is his associate.
When the news is like this domestic terrorist and his buddy.
And this guy didn't do anything.
His buddy's like, oh man.
He was not involved in this plan at all. So to me, I'm like, man, I wish he just didn't get in the thing. But to me, it was like, he's like, where are you going with my vehicle? And he's like, hop in, which was a bad move.
Bad call.
But really cool chase scene. They're going through alleys. This little tricycle can squeeze through parts of alleys the cars can't. Cop cars are crashing into things. They're, you know, putting on the brakes, and two of them are going around him. And
this is
really cool.
This is $30 million.
Yeah,
right.
This movie looks great.
And
that's what I want to get back to, though. Seriously, we have to talk about it. And this is a cinematographer who's done some other big movies that you would recognize, and I can't remember his name, but this movie is striking. It is just beautifully filmed, and really masterfully edited too, because the action looks really good. It's hard hitting, but this is a good looking movie.
I know that I complain about the Doug Liman action sequences, right?
You see Roadhouse?
I
thought it was good.
It's terrible.
It's bad.
It's so bad.
It's weird. The review, and I haven't read a real review, but just people's reaction on Facebook has either been like, this movie's amazing, or this movie's complete dog.
It's really so fun. Like,
it's
removed
not.
From the original, like, because nothing's Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott, but
I don't have the, I like Roadhouse a lot. The original one.
Though.
I don't, I, no.
Because people that love the original,
I will say,
I think,
my entire time as a bouncer, as working security, I always use the be nice, until it's time to not be nice. Mm-hmm. That has always been my motto. So that being said, they ADR. I don't know what happened to Conor McGregor, but like they took all of his dialogue out, and they
ADR. Probably a terrible actor.
But they ADR'd all of it with his own voice.
Yeah, because he's probably terrible, and they said you have to redo these.
And then
lines.
The fight sequences are weird; like, they do not look right. I don't know.
Okay,
but it's real bad.
So this cinematographer, his name is Sharon Mir, and he has done Silent Night, which I didn't see, but that's
it was fine. But it's a John Woo movie.
That's John Woo action movie, right? So he did Silent Night, Rings. I never saw that one.
Not good.
Okay, no. Did it look good though?
No.
Oh,
well. I mean, the first one's Gore Verbinski. Like okay. That's a good looking movie.
Whiplash, that's a good looking movie. Yeah. Talk about A24 and indie movies. I think
with
there was
no weird stuff in that one, as a matter, you know.
That is one of the
non-weird A24 movies.
The Last House on the Left, 2009.
I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Peaceful Warrior, The Tick, 2002. I mean, come on.
Was that the David Warburton one?
Patrick Warburton. Yeah, it was. But anyway, I mean, he has tons of credits, but I was just trying to pick out some different things. But this movie would just, I thought, incredible looking, and it definitely, with the action, with the stunts, the choreography, the overall look and feel, looks way bigger than a $30 million movie.
Big time.
It doesn't feel like a Netflix movie, quote unquote.
It does not.
Because, I mean, now, obviously, again, we've talked about this. The distribution model does not mean that the movie has to be a lesser quality.
Yeah, but there's Netflix movies do have a look.
Some, but what I mean, like, this is a movie
The ones they tend to push.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, they didn't push this one.
Was Mitchell's versus Machines Netflix? Did that go straight to Netflix or did that go to theaters?
Yeah, that was Netflix. That was Netflix.
Okay.
But my point is that the distribution model doesn't necessarily have to say anything about the quality of the film. It's not a quality thing, and it doesn't have to be a look thing. There's theatrical movies that Netflix buys or pushes and then gives them the 2 weeks to be eligible for Oscars, and they go to Netflix. So like, it's not necessarily intended for Netflix. But some movies do have a produced by Netflix, intended for Netflix to release.
I think it's that Lindsay Lohan one, right?
Which is fine. That movie doesn't need to be anything other than because if it's not on Netflix, it's on Lifetime or whatever. You know what I mean? Right, like those movies, Hallmark.
Amazon shows have a look. The Bosch, Jack Ryan, and Reacher all look the same. Mm-hmm. They've got that like weird glossiness to it.
HBO has a look. I think in a good way, like Game of Thrones, you know, like
you think Game of Thrones looks the same as Succession?
No, well, not necessarily in that regard, but like Westworld has a kind of a similar to Game of Thrones.
True Detective, I'll give you that.
In a good way. I don't mean in a bad way. HBO is a very high end.
Did you watch the new True Detective?
I haven't yet.
Dude.
I almost started it, but I was too tired. I'm like, I don't want to fall asleep. But it came up on my TV. Good. I almost pressed play. But
you saw the first season, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen them all.
This ties heavily into the first season.
I've seen them all, yeah.
I saw the first season, and the second one was trash.
Third season's really good.
Never went back.
I would recommend 3 and 4. They're both very good. Oh. Yeah, I like them.
So, cool car chase scene. Unfortunately, a little girl walks out in front of the vehicle. He slams on the brakes, pulls the e-brake, stops right in front of her, and then a cop car comes and
smashes it,
knocks it over. The drug dealer friend runs away, and then he is caught by the police.
No, they did leave him there. Right?
No, they put him in the back of the police car and he shoots them all and escapes.
Oh, that's remember? Right. That's right.
Big,
yes.
So it's a big action scene. So he wakes up, he's handcuffed, and then he grabs one of the guy's guns, shoots him, kicks the other guy, whatever, shoots the lock, jumps, rolls out of the car. No, actually jumps onto a truck, hood of a truck.
Yes.
Jumps off the back.
Yeah.
And he's running, going on rooftops, a helicopter's chasing him. And this is the scene that I talked about earlier where he basically gets sniped out of a helicopter.
Correct.
And the guy takes the shot, shoots him, and he falls into the water. And this is the...
That is gross.
And so...
That was gross.
The water was... Yeah. Well, yeah, because
you could see poops.
You could see poops.
There was poops floating around.
In his face.
And I believe he filmed that in a bathtub, is what I heard.
Wasn't the salt burnt bathtub, was it?
That is the same joke the person made on the Southwest
interview.
No, is it really?
Dang it. so gross, man.
But anyway, I think his friend filmed that because, again, COVID lockdowns and all that, and so they had to end up filming the part where he's underwater.
That's the kind of that I love.
Yeah.
You know,
I would have never known until he said that was in a bathtub.
But it's just the DIY world of it where he's like, hey, man, we got to do it. We got to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
Here, but, go take this bathtub and I'll film it.
Maybe it was a little more controlled probably than that. But what I love is that this movie...
Don't have Mexican first.
Yeah, that's right. Please. No Chipotle.
Well, it wouldn't be culturally authentic.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? There just needs to be curry
in those
poops.
Just get some really spicy curry.
Yes.
It'll light you up.
But this movie does have that DIY vibe to it, but it doesn't look like it.
Agreed.
It feels like a big screen
massive
experience.
Action movie,
and yeah, and there's nothing about this movie that screams cheap or lesser than,
right?
And it's fantastic, but this is the part where in the mythology that the monkey god gets struck by lightning because he tries to eat the sun. He's hungry, he goes for what he thinks is a mango. It's really the sun, and the god punishes him, strikes him with lightning. The other gods realize that
did
was
you
a
see this at the draft house?
Yeah.
Did you get all the that's right, did you get the fruity
yeah,
ads,
and which... then it was the okay. When the kid says, "I'll make it a double, give me a fruity, make it a double," and then he just hands him like the glass with the like, bottle.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very funny.
That's a good joke. I like that. It's Simpsons joke.
I think my favorite moment in the whole movie is when the kid bets on the fight at the end.
Yes,
and he goes back to get his money, and he just goes. Yeah. And like winks at him.
Yeah.
And it's just like
it's a good line.
And the noise he makes. Yes, I'm like, oh, this is great.
That kid was great.
He's like the next Iron Man 3 kid.
Yeah, right.
We need to put him in more stuff. But so the god strikes him with lightning. The other gods realize that was a mistake. He's this innocent monkey that was just trying to eat or whatever. And they bring him back to life and give him powers. And then he becomes this symbol.
It's like Monkey King.
And so it's really cool because then again, this is another movie where I went and did this research and found out. And I'm like, that's really cool. So he's retelling this classic mythology, but through this modern lens and political things that are going on in the country, and this is a man of the people that they can look up to, much like they look up to this god in the story. So
he gets dragged away. He gets pulled into this village by. And initially, I thought when he wakes up, I was like, oh no, he's with the bad guy. But it's not like those are two very different people. This guy runs.
At first, I thought it was the woman from the club. Because, again, I didn't know there'd be these other characters.
Right.
You can't see. It's very blurry, like, through his eyes. And I thought it was because he was kind to this woman and talked to her about, oh, you have a tattoo. I know that's not a sparrow. It's a whatever. I grew up in the jungle. Like, I thought that she then somehow was maybe a part of this culture that I didn't know the details of yet and saved him. But it went a different route. But
yes.
I did think because the language of cinema, like we talked about, he sees this woman and has this connection. You think it's going to carry on throughout the... But no.
It does a little bit. But not, yeah. So he gets taken to this village. And again, the way I interpret this village, it is a village full of, and I don't mean this in a derogative.
It's outcasts.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's
the island of misfit toys.
It's the people that are not welcome,
like
in the quote unquote real world, where it is trans people, it is LGBTQ people, it is all of these different walks of life that maybe the religion that they practice doesn't accept.
And this is, I was trying to say earlier, and we went, of course, on a tangent, surprisingly. Jordan Peele's
conversational offer.
Oh, yes. Jordan Peele said that he starts as a revenger and turns into an avenger.
I would agree with that.
It's 100%. Revenge to avenge. So what starts off as his path of revenge and for his mother turns into him standing up and protecting
the
people. Fighting for the people and giving them hope. And so it's really cool how you see this transition throughout the film.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So he is taken under the wing of like the leader of this commune.
Who is apparently another actor in India, very
is that right?
Well-known and revered.
And basically he gives him this drug and says, it's not, I say drug, but it's
hallucinogen.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah, he goes on a trip.
Like that. Yeah.
This is something, he says like, pain will help you.
It'll
like,
form you. It'll give you powers, basically.
It will be gone after it helps you. Yeah. So like, it's going to guide you on this journey.
So we see exactly what happens in the village where the people are watching like a marionette show. The police show up.
They're telling the story of that monkey.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The police show up. The mom stands up to the police. They kill her.
Hanuman. I should say it just because.
Thank you.
Again,
yeah, I could not.
The story of
to...
the monkey we're talking about, the mythology is Hanuman.
Yes.
And there's this character that obviously the whole narrative is based around this mythology.
Like that Muppet song.
Manamana.
Oh wait, you can't sing.
It's all
you can sing the Muppets.
Yeah, I can sing the Muppets. Yeah.
We just got sued. Joe.
Yeah,
thanks.
Dang it.
Somehow they have a live feed watching.
Jim Henson's corporate Disney. I guess it'll be Disney.
Sometimes I feel like, oh no, damn it, I did it again.
So we see exactly what happens. Is this police chief murders his mother and then sets her on fire.
It is great because you see why he reacts.
It's great
the way
that his mother was murdered, Kevin.
No.
Nice. Real nice.
It's great that in that scene where he flips out up in the VIP dinner lounge,
gives
when,
you a reason
when
why.
The police chief is running his hand up the call girl or you know the worker's skirt and all that stuff, because we see the parallel that when he was a child, he saw the police captain who would then burn down the village go up to his mom and
do
start
the same thing.
Yeah, and so it triggered him. And this movie's, they lay it all out, like we said, it's there. That's the difference between good writing and bad writing. You can have a kick-ass action movie, but you don't care about the characters if if there's not good writing.
Right.
And this movie lays things out. It's very smart in the way that they show you things that will pay off and you'll understand later on. And this is just another one of those things that clicks. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I knew he was upset, but it's like, this is
well,
very...
Well, this is also, we see what happens to his hands. Right,
yeah.
Like we see that his mother is set on fire,
which I figured because we knew that the village burned
something
down.
They said something about bleach, and
which
I
think
like,
was like you would think that it's from working with chemicals and
right,
stuff.
But
they show you in the flashbacks throughout the film the village burning down, and I'm like, oh, he
tried to put
his hands
he tried to put his mom out. Yeah. That's really what it is, and he burned his hands in the process. And so he comes back after you know reliving all of this trauma, and kind of get himself, you know, he's healing up. He's got bullet wounds and stab wounds kind of that he's healing up from. And he starts throwing these mediocre punches at a punching bag. And then the guy we talked about, the drummer, starts playing the drums and he's like, fight to the beat of the drums.
The rhythm. It's really cool. It's
and then
like,
he starts
boom,
getting
boom,
harder and faster.
Like,
and, you know, now he's throwing kicks and
it's
he's
a
doing
really
all this
cool
stuff.
Sequence, yeah.
And he realizes that now it's time to, he completes his training in, again, I love a good training montage, right? Like they're the best. So he completes his training and he realizes that he has to go back, and he kind of gets the approval of the leader of this commune that he has to go back. So,
oh, and so we should say this temple, cause I don't want to
temple that he's at now.
Yeah. I don't want to skip over this cause this is part of what he's trying to say with this film. So this temple is a follower of Ardhanajrava. I know I'm butchering that, but Ardhanajrava. It's the definition. It's a form of Hindu deity Shiva combined with his consort Parvati. It's depicted as half male and half female, equally split down the middle. The right half is usually the male Shiva, illustrating his traditional attributes. So that's the statue you see in the temple.
Okay.
And so this is a belief. And so I think it's cool that they applied it to these LGBTQ things they're saying and, you know,
sure,
purposefully picked this.
That makes
show.
Sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So he,
please do not feed the god peanuts.
Correct. Thank you.
I think that's one of my favorite Simpson line of all time. Please do not feed my god peanuts.
That is very funny. Like, I missed that show when it was funny. So he goes back. He jumps into the, like, we see that his buddy is kind of living in squalor, but he can't go anywhere because he's a terrorist, deemed a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm. But we see a poster pop up that says the Monkey Man returns. So the partner goes to the arena. We don't see Dev Patel put the mask on, but we see him in the ring, and in the most 80s action movie kind of way, it's this guy that he had fought earlier who kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Coldplay, not the band. You know, hypes it up that the Monkey Man is back, and in one punch knocks this guy out
in the face.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, it's
over.
Indiana Jones.
It is very Indiana Jones.
It's...
Did you hear the John Rhys Davies story about that?
No, what's that?
He was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, and they were talking about how like Harrison Ford was kind of a dick on set sometimes, and there was like all for that scene. There is a whole
There was a whole choreographed fight.
Yeah. Yes.
And it had been a long day. And
he's like, just shoot him.
He's like, I've got a gun. Can I just shoot him?
and John Rhys Davies is like, Rosenbaum asks him, he's like, is that true? And he's like, 100%. It was like four pages of the script gone just because Harrison, they all had food poisoning. Yeah, everybody had food poisoning.
The only people who didn't get food poisoning were Spielberg and Lucas, I think.
Oh, really?
And they credit it to the fact that they wouldn't eat any of the food, and all they ate the entire time were SpaghettiOs.
Oh,
that would give me food poisoning. But yeah, so he kicks him in the face and nobody knows what to do.
Then they bring in Andre the Giant.
Yeah, basically. Right. Yes. And it's, again, he's not winning the fight, but he is holding his own, and then he sees his opportunity and he takes it and he kicks the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
And rather than beating him in the head with his barbed wire bat, he shows mercy, and that earns him the love of the crowd. Mm-hmm.
Because as we all know, people go to secret fight clubs
for mercy.
They want that moment where someone shows human compassion.
Correct.
Well, and if you notice, most of them are wearing no mercy shirts, and they crossed out with a red Sharpie the no.
When you go to bet, you're like, do you want to bet on Monkey Man? Do you want to bet on the other guy? Or would you like to wager on human compassion?
Monkey Man. Put the money on Monkey Man.
But man, what's the over-under on the mercy?
Well, apparently pretty high.
Yeah.
Because that kid got paid. I mean... But that's that scene that Tom was talking about where the kid knew what was going to happen, bets on Monkey Man, and wins big time.
But I do think, again, we don't know the story and the mythology as much, so I do believe in this culture. All these people, it's showing that even though they are going to this underground fighting ring, they know the story of Hanuman, and they are realizing, like, he's this monkey character. He's showing compassion and mercy. He's a good fighter, but also is a fighter for good and everything. And so they're kind of like, you know,
they're behind it.
Yeah, they're picking up, and this is where this character is rising up and becoming a person of the people. Because right now, in a big plot point that we really pretty much skipped over, is that this spiritual guru leading the country. He's leading the politics. He is in charge of the police. He's the one that told the police to go burn down kids' village and everything. And so this spiritual guy is controlling this whole country, and he goes and tells the cop, the cop's like, he's a nobody. And it's a really cool line.
What if he becomes a somebody?
He's like, take him down before he becomes a somebody. Because he realizes that he could lose his power. And so he's pulling all the strings here. And I just think that, you know, we have to mention that this is also another commentary on religion, like we had mentioned, but saying that people will follow religions blindly no matter what they're doing, and say it's in the name of religion, and they'll do it. And
the Crusades.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Say no more. So he wins the fight.
He gets
the money, but then he takes all that money and he gives it to the village, to the commune.
Because one of the women there had been attacked by the person that was trying to evict them. And so now they can stay.
So he goes to the club. He bleaches the monkey mask for some reason and then never wears it again.
Oh, he does wear it again for alleyway
short
infiltration.
Yes.
Take it off dramatically.
That's right.
There might be some editing. Maybe it got edited.
Maybe.
Something.
But then this is, I mean, this is Game of Death. This is, you know, the raid, Dread. Yeah,
this
all
is the
stuff.
Big climactic fight scene.
Where he's fighting his way up the, and that's what he does. And he's not really losing. Like, this is the point where the choreography is much more crisp and clean, and the camera work is not as chaotic.
Yeah.
And he's kicking the
It's very John Wick-esque, if you're going to call something John Wick.
He is beating up
everybody.
He is
just nonstop. Here's a knife. Here's a frying pan. Here's some hot oil. Here's, you know, he's just using everything in this beautiful ballet-esque choreographed fight scene.
And it's not until he gets to like the first of the VIP lounges that he has a little bit of trouble. He kills.
Well, it's the Kill Bill thing, right? He takes out everyone, and then off the elevator come
the crazy
50 people,
right?
And it's like, how am I going to get out of this? And then they had mentioned that temple is a group of outcast warriors. Their people are descended from warriors.
Yes.
So they show up in full garb.
It was amazing.
Incredible. And just start.
It's one of those things where it's like, of course that would happen, right? But I forgot about it.
Hooks and knives and weapons. Yeah. And they're just taking.
And they're just destroying everybody.
The thing about this movie that's great, I mean, the writing is great. It looks great. I mean, there's so much great stuff in this movie, but it goes a different direction. Like, I did not imagine him being rescued and nursed back to health by this trans community and then them being warriors that were going to come kill people in the hotel. Like, it goes in this insane bonkers in the best way direction that
big
was
time.
Just very unique and surprising.
And actually, what I like is so he's dead to rights with the Queenie, and then the woman shoots Queenie.
No, she hits her in the head with a
is that what it was
betray.
Oh, that's right. But then Dev Patel cuts her thumb off, which I thought was like, what are you doing? But I thought initially
I instantly
it's
knew
the
what
old
that was
I need your
so
thumbprint
I
thing,
I yeah. thought it was like he was gonna because her husband, Queenie's husband, is the chief of police.
What?
Yeah, he's in the picture when he goes to the office. when Dev Patel goes and he sees that they're like,
so he's just finger blasting people while she's over there behind, like, running the
does
place?
That seem that out of character?
Don't you think they're just like in cahoots? I didn't think they were married.
I thought it was a family picture, a family. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn it was a family portrait.
I did not read it that way, but
I thought he was going to throw it to him, be like, I already took out your woman. But it makes sense.
Come on, when someone in a movie like this cuts off a finger, they need it for a fingerprint.
Yeah,
that's just how it is.
That's true. And that's what he gets.
But he goes, and you saw the police chief has like scurried into the elevator. He follows him in there, gets to the penthouse.
What I love about this is the police chief never stood a chance. Like, there's no sometimes you get to the second guy before the final boss, and he beats the shit.
Well, and he did the first time. This is the guy he fought in the bathroom,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Before he became the real Monkey Man.
Right. And this is the scene that's about Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
But like, the police chief doesn't get a hit off. Like, constantly, like, Dev Patel is dodging punches and
but this is that scene where the cinematography, there's these decorations that are like mirrored, that are like shiny mirrored decorations.
Mirrors, yeah.
And they're spinning around and they're, each of them is like, you see one of them in one and one in the other as they move. And,
right.
And you know, the police chief sneaks up on him and you see him in the mirror come and hit him or whatever. It's a really cool looking
scene. It is. Again, very much. It is Enter the Dragon. It's the last scene of Enter the Dragon.
Kind of reminds me of, what was it?
Enter the Dragon.
Oh yeah. We'll go with that.
So yeah, he takes this guy out, honestly, no problem. And he goes up to the final.
And he kills him, right? He pretty brutally kills him. This is the guy that killed his mom. So
I'm trying to think of, because he choked his mom, like he strangled his mom. I thought he was going to, I don't remember what.
He hits him in the head or something, but like very brutally, and there's a pool of blood. So is he dead? But then there's a huge pool of blood.
You're
He's beating him with a shoe? Is he the one he's beating with a shoe?
No, that's the bad guy at the end. The final boss at the end.
Okay.
Because the boss has,
he
like
uses
those...
the shoes that he wears that don't kill bugs, however that
I
works.
I don't know how that works, but I don't know. So he gets to the top, and then the guru is kind of giving him his spiel. And this is where I was like, oh, this is like Jedi. Like, this is father and son.
It was very Darth Vader, Luke reminiscent.
Yeah. So he's got these. He tells the story about the sandals that he wears, that they don't kill bugs.
Man, the pool, the water. He's got like his, like, it looked so cool.
Yeah,
you have the Diwali, the celebration's going on outside the window. There's fireworks. They're lighting up their faces.
Yep.
You know.
And yep. It's like, so, it's got, it's, it reminded me a lot of Drive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the
a,
color. Yeah,
the right, color. Right. The color. Yeah. Like the fluorescent reds and stuff like
and
that.
And this guy,
I put on Twitter. I was like, old and busted, debating whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. New and exciting, debating whether or not Monkey Man is a Diwali movie.
Oh, I like it.
I think if it took good place timing during the whole movie and not just the last 10 minutes, maybe.
I think it still works. Is Diwali going on right now? Is that happening right now?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
The only reason I think that it might be is because on where I work, there is a Islamic center, and it has been packed the last 4 to 5 nights.
No, it was November 1st this year.
But I don't know what's going on. But
is this Ramadan?
Oh, maybe it is. That's a good call. And this, again, this is not a fight sequence. This is a very simple, the guy.
Yeah, this guy's not a fighter.
No,
I mean,
no, no.
He's
the
guru.
The guru ends up pulling, you know, the trick is that one of these little pieces of the shoe has like a spear on the end of it, or a little stabby stab, and he stabs him like in the gut or the chest. I guess it's in the chest. And
thought it was the gut.
Maybe it is. I gotta tell you, don't think it's a kill shot.
Well, that depends on how well this movie does.
Correct.
See, we don't show me the body. You know,
we know the other guy's dead.
Yeah, he's as good as dead, and the movie can end right here. But you know,
yes,
if action movies have taught us anything,
right.
Yes, Ramadan concludes on April 9th.
Oh, there we go. Year. That makes sense then. So they have this quick little exchange. The guy, the guru stabs Dev Patel in the gut. Dev Patel reacts and stabs this.
Well, he tries to finish Dev Patel with one of the spears,
and
he takes his hand
it
and like holds it.
Yeah,
and then he takes
that.
He like takes it out and just brutally
stabbing the out of him, and then stabs him in the head.
Yeah.
And then,
I have to think that's some kind of symbolism, because he had like the thing in center in his head.
It was dead center.
I felt like that was a religious symbolism, and
maybe
I didn't look into that, but it just reminded me that, you know, it just seemed like, because he's a spiritual guru, and you see in the Indian religion,
well,
the different.
he portrays himself as one. I think it's, I think he's probably one of those, like,
a charlatan.
Well, I was thinking
he's clearly a huckster.
Who are those morons that do the revival churches?
Like Olstein?
Yes. And all that? Yeah. Those.
Well, yeah, he's using, he's preaching religion.
Was it Kenneth Copeland? Is that the other one?
I'm not sure, but he's under the guise of religion. He's sending people to murder people. Right, that's not very nice. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So yeah, clearly he's not a good person, but right. I don't know. I just, for the way that last kill landed, I felt like it was trying to say something there.
Sure. And then Dev Patel kind of stands up and he's looking over this city and all the fireworks are going off and he kind of just collapses. He has a vision of him and his mom playing in the jungle and chasing after each other, and then he just kind of collapses. We don't see how he collapses, but we assume that, you know, kind of John Wick style, where he just kind of falls over, and then we get credits.
But remember, all the warriors that saved him that first time were there, so if they make a second one, they're right there.
So, and this this and Love Lies Bleeding were like two of the ones that I was looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
And they did not fail. Like, they were both, this is amazing. Like, this is something special as far as, like, I think action movies go. I know that John Wick kind of changed the genre for a lot of things. And I think this one is a really good taking elements of John Wick, but also being able to spin the story that Dev Patel and the messages that Dev Patel wanted to get out there is pretty brilliant.
This feels a lot deeper than John Wick, right?
Yeah, that's
John
what I'm Wick saying. Is more, like it takes the cool style of that, but there's no, you know, I don't really care when John Wick is just murder. You know, I'm not invested in the story of John Wick.
I mean, I wasn't the first one, but right. But now it just feels like I haven't even watched the fourth one yet.
What?
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah. It starts off a little slow. It's one of the few movies I've seen in my life where, like, because I think it's too long.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's because he falls down all the stairs, right?
Yeah.
I heard he falls down a lot of stairs.
A lot of stairs.
But it's one of the few movies I've seen in my life where I sat through, like, the first 45 minutes being like, I don't like this. Uh-huh. And then by the end of it, I was like, no, they pulled it out. Okay. I enjoyed that.
I want to watch it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Did we not cover that?
You might have. I didn't.
We've been over this.
There's no way we didn't do
that's what I'm
John
saying.
Wick 4,
yeah,
so he must have not
it.
Been here.
I definitely
it,
yeah. was not here.
For the record, I know that on this show, Kevin's like, I didn't see that Max Landis movie.
Sure.
You did.
Yeah.
You did an episode on it.
I probably... I don't
you
know,
were here.
I probably watched it on my phone the morning before or something. I do not remember that at all.
So it happens as you age.
Yeah. It's also true.
Yeah.
I haven't seen John Wick 4. I was not on that episode, I'm telling you.
I'm going to go back and find it. Like, ta-da! No. But no, this is an outstanding.
Did you like it, Tom?
I did. Did like it. I enjoyed it a lot. I did not... These normally aren't my kinds of movies.
Yeah, sure.
And so, but I was just... I thought they did a really good job.
It felt original. You know, it wasn't your same old revenge tale. Like, he took inspiration from all these things. But again, the movie had a lot to say, and I felt like it wasn't bogged down by the things. It wasn't eat your vegetables,
right?
You know, with all these things. But it gave people the action they craved. The message was interesting and inspiring, and
And since Americans don't know anything about the politics of other countries, nobody can call it woke.
That's right. Oh, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will, for whatever reason.
I liked it when they were punching people, but the rest of the stuff.
Keep your messages out of my movies, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up. this is great. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, this, I enjoyed this a lot, way more than I thought I was going to. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Philo, let's Murdoch win the fight.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.